May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 264. Far from my thoughts, vain world begone, let my religious hours alone. Fain would my eyes my Saviour see. I wait a visit, Lord, from thee. Hymn 264.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Song of Solomon and chapters 7 and 8. Solomon's Song, chapters 7 and 8. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like an heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bathrabin. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. O that thou wert as my brother, that sucked the breasts of my mother, when I should find thee without, I would kiss thee, yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. We have a little sister, and she hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breasts like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favour. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal-Hamon. He let out the vineyard unto keepers, Every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof 200. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come. Oh, we do desire now to bow before thy glorious and eternal majesty. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Oh Lord, we solemnly feel and know we all have sinned and come short of thy glory. We all stand in need of that precious mercy that is in Christ Jesus. And as we seek to bow before thee, we come before thee in his name, pleading his merits, what he has done. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, we do pray that we may feel thy sacred presence by thy Spirit and grace here in the sanctuary tonight, that the gathering of the people may be unto thee. We are encouraged, O Lord, in thy word, the many times in the word of God when thou didst meet with thy people at the time of the evening sacrifice. And we pray that we may not be disappointed here tonight, but that thou wouldest meet with us, that thou wouldest speak to our hearts. We read, O Lord, my beloved spake and said unto me, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest speak, and let us hear thy voice, and let us see thy countenance, and let us worship in thy holy hill of Zion. We come, O Lord, to confess our sins and our sinfulness, our unworthiness of the very least of thy tender mercies. O most gracious Lord, we come and plead the precious blood that did for sin atone. We come unto him that is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. O most gracious Lord, we to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Oh, we do pray, O Lord, that that precious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us, that we may feel and know this evening hour those sacred and divine drawings of our Heavenly Father, drawing us unto his best beloved and all-glorious Son. We do pray that we might feel the divine power and the heavenly unction of the Spirit of God in our hearts, leading us, guiding us, convincing us of our lost condition, convincing us of our helpless condition, and convincing us that Jesus only can save, convincing us that there is but one thing that is needful, and that we must perish without him. May we come like that dear woman of old, if I might but touch the hem of his garment and draw from that sacred fullness that is in him, that virtue that is in Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do pray that we may draw from that virtue and that our souls may be favoured with a view by faith of the glory of thy person, of the glory of thy holy life, of the glory of thy holy sacrifice, of the glory of thy resurrection, of the glory of thy ascension into glory. For Lord Jesus, thou and thou alone can save. We pray that we may have the witness of thy spirit with our spirit, that we are the children of God, chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. Great God, do so seal thy truth into our hearts. We read in thy word, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. May we feel the sealing power of thy truth, of thy spirit, the spirit of truth, even this evening hour, as we gather around thy word in this thine earthly sanctuary. We pray for this people, that thou wouldst richly bless them. We pray that thou wouldst be with thy servants as they come in and out among them, and that there may be a breaking of the bread of life among them, and that precious souls may be fed with living bread that cometh down from heaven. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to grant this people a living, settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Hear us, O Lord, we do beseech thee, and bless us, we do pray thee. We pray, most gracious and most merciful Lord God, that thou wouldst bless our brethren the deacons and give needed grace and wisdom and help in all the responsibilities that devolve upon them in the sanctuary. And may their hearts be knit together in love, and may it please them, please thee, O Lord, to grant them that spirit of love among them as brethren and sisters in Christ, that it may be with them from time to time, as we read in thy word, did not our heart burn within us as he walked and talked with us by the way, as he opened to us the scriptures. So bless them, Lord. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. O Lord, do grant that spirit of love. We do humbly beseech thee. We do pray thy rich blessing to rest upon them as a church and congregation, and that the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and that addeth no sorrow with it may be their portion. We pray for the little babes and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that thy blessing may rest upon them in their young and tender years, and that thou wouldst bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ, the dear children. And we do pray for the young friends, that they may be blessed with thy grace, taught by thy spirit, guided by thy counsel, and that thy word may be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Hear us, O Lord, we do beseech thee. And to give wisdom and understanding to parents, that they may bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grant that thou wouldst be with the little families in their homes, and that there may be indeed the worship of the Lord, the raising of the family altar, the reading of the word of God, and prayer to be made. Hear us, O Lord, we do pray thee. And we pray, most gracious Lord, thy blessing upon those in the midst of the journey of life, that thou wouldst be gracious unto them, that thou wouldst graciously deliver us from temptation. For Lord, we have a wicked enemy, a cunning enemy, a cruel enemy, and that we need thee continually to deliver us from the power of the wicked one. And that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst grant that we may know the truth of those words in the experience of them. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that we may be made more spiritually minded, that our affections may be set upon things above. Oh, most gracious Lord, we pray that we may be weaned away from the things of this life, and be drawn into spiritual things. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst be with and bless those in the evening time of life's journey. Graciously undertake for them. Graciously put the arms of thine everlasting love around them. Graciously sustain them. And prepare them for that time, that solemn time when heart and flesh shall fail, when we shall soar through tracks unknown and see thee on thy judgment throne. Great God, may we be prepared for that day. And now, my God, prepare my soul for that great day and wash me in thy precious blood. Take all my sins away. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy servants as they come in and out among this people. We do pray that thou wouldst bless thy servants as they labour upon the walls of Zion, wherever that may be, in this nation and in the nations of the earth, and that thou wouldst again send out thy light and thy truth. We see the awful powers of Antichrist gathering together against thy church, against thine anointed. Lord, may we be brought to see clearly, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And not all the powers of hell can change that. Great God, we do beseech thee that thou wouldst help us to stand, and having done all things to stand. We seek, most gracious Lord, truly thankful hearts for all the tender mercies of thy kind providence. We seek, O Lord, a thankful heart for the house of God, for the liberties that we yet enjoy in being able to meet together around thy word. We're thankful, O Lord, for thy word. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. We thank thee for the love of our Heavenly Father. We thank thee for the sacred gift of the Holy Ghost. And we thank thee, O Lord, that all these blessings flow to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and Head of the Church, the Eternal Son that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank thee for his holy life. We thank thee for everlasting righteousness brought in. We thank thee for the holy sacrifice of the cross, where sin has been put away, where divine justice has been satisfied. We thank thee for a Saviour that died to rise again and to swallow up death in victory. And we thank thee for a Saviour that is now sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Great God, we would indeed enter thy gates with praise and with the voice of thanksgiving. And that we pray that thou wouldst now be with us as we turn to thy holy word, and grant that one may dip his foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. And grant that by thy spirit and grace thy word may be opened, may be sealed into our heart, that we may catch a glimpse of the glory of Christ, of the wonders of redeeming love, of the fullness of salvation that is in him. Hear us, O Lord. Make up in giving where we do so fail in asking, as we ask all with the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 47. Cursed be the man, forever cursed, that does one willful sin commit. Death and damnation for the first, without relief and infinite. Hymn number 47.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and we will read verse 5 for our text. The 8th chapter of Solomon's Song, verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raise thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. In this beautiful book of Holy Scripture, we have set forth in sacred Hebrew poetry the intimate love between Christ and his church. As in all poetry, it is metaphors that are constantly and continually used to express the thoughts of the heart. And here in this sacred poetry, as it is in many places in Holy Scripture, the Church of Christ is likened to his bride. He says in one place in Jeremiah, "For I am married unto you." It's his bride. And the Lord Jesus Christ in here in Solomon's Song is spoken of as the beloved, and the church as his spouse. And so we have this intimate love song. And this comparison that is made in this metaphorical way, and the reason that the Spirit of God uses this form of speech, because the closest union that we can know here below is the union between a husband and wife, a loving union. And it's the most intimate and close union that we can know here on earth. And so the Spirit of God uses this intimate union between husband and wife, this bond of love, he uses it to illustrate the sacred intimate union between Christ and his church, a spiritual union, an eternal union. It is sometimes quite difficult in Solomon's Song to discern who is speaking, whether it is Christ or whether it is the church. In this 7th chapter that we read together, from verses 1 to 9, we have Christ speaking of his bride, of his spouse. And he speaks of his love to her, of his desire for her. He speaks of her beauty. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. What a wonderful expression, isn't it? O prince's daughter. This is the spouse of Christ. This is a poor sinner who's been brought with the treasures of his blood. This is a poor sinner who was chosen before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Christ. Redeemed in Christ. This is a poor sinner in whom the Spirit of God has entered and quickened their soul into life. He brings them to feel their lost condition, their ruined condition, their undone condition, and then he shows them some of the glories and the beauties and the loveliness of Jesus Christ. He shows them that by faith, and as the Scripture declares unto us, the faith of the Lord's people is a faith that worketh by love. That's the very root grace. It's rooted in the heart of every living child of God. Love. John, he spends quite a long time in his first epistle expressing and emphasizing the need of love. That where there is true faith, there will be true love. Where there is true union and communion. And it's a love, firstly, to Jesus Christ. Secondly, to his bride, to his people here on earth. It's a union of love. He makes that clear, bold statement. By the Spirit, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do we have that witness that we love the Lord? Can we echo in our hearts the language of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel? I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice, the voice of my supplications. You feel drawn in love. Your affections are set upon him. As the apostle says in the Colossians, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, where Christ sitteth. You know, to faith, Christ is like a magnet. He draws the affections. There's a beauty, there's a loveliness here in the fifth chapter of Solomon's Song. The spouse, she speaks of her love to her beloved. She's asked a question, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? That thou dost so charge us, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. What it means, white, he's pure, he's holy. Ruddy is red, he shed his precious blood. What is she expressing? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. And so she goes on with that beautiful description of her beloved. And here Christ, he speaks of his love to her. And mark this, my beloved friends, and the word of God clearly instructs us. We love him because he first loved us. Loved of my God, says the hymn writer, before time began. An everlasting love. Yea, I have loved thee. These are the words of God Almighty. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How does he draw? By love. By the affections of the heart. By revealing himself, as it says here in Solomon's Song, showing himself through the lattice. The illustration, of course, in Eastern countries, you have a lattice work across an opening, an aperture in a building. And somebody's walking the other side of it. Now, of course, the lattice represents the word of God. And Christ shows himself through the lattice of his word. And when we read the word and we see Christ, there's such a beauty, there's such a loveliness, there's such an attraction in his person. You're drawn to him. You long to lay hold of him. You know the language of that dear woman. If I might but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made completely whole. There's a longing to see him. There's a longing to know him. And not only that, there's a longing to follow him. You see, here, as he looks at his spouse, and he speaks of her beauty and her loveliness, and he says, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delights. See, he sees, it's something that is beyond our comprehension, isn't it? However can the pure, holy, glorious, eternal person of Jesus Christ see a beauty and a loveliness in a poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinner? There's only one way, my beloved friends. Ye are complete in him. We are accepted in the Beloved, and he sees his church washed in his precious blood, clothed in the glorious robe of his righteousness. That's how he sees her, complete in him. She's redeemed. Her sins are all put away. The deformity of sin is all gone. She's accepted in the Beloved. He's put away her sin forever on the cross of Calvary. He's redeemed her from all the curses of the law. He's delivered her from that condemning sentence of the holy law of God. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. He delights in her. He loves her with an everlasting love. And he's determined to take her to eternal glory, to everlasting happiness, to be with him forever. And he's promised to do that. He saved her with an everlasting salvation. He says here in this, these desires toward his spouse, and the roof of thy mouth is like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. The best wine, rejoicing the heart. Now, with these discoveries of the love of Christ, and you know, we read in Romans, and the apostle, he tells us, the love of God is, or the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful thing when the love of Christ is shed abroad in your heart. What a wonderful thing when you have a sacred realization that he loves you. You can't understand why he should love you, but he lets you know that he does love you. He melts your heart under a sense of his love, his dying love. He gives you a little glimpse by faith of what he has done for you. How that he left the bosom of his Holy Father. How that he lived made of a woman made under the law in this world. And he fulfilled that holy righteous law for his people, to make them righteous in his righteousness. We read in Ezekiel chapter 16, he speaks of the comeliness of his bride, of the church. And what does he say? Comely in my comeliness. Comely in my comeliness. There's no comeliness in ourselves. Have you ever seen the people of God in Christ? It's a very precious thing. No spot nor wrinkle shall I see in those that unto Jesus flee. You see them in Christ. You see them a redeemed people. It's a precious thing when your heart is drawn to them and you love them. You love them because they are the Lord's people. You love them. And you know, this is something that has been so exceedingly sweet to me. That when we have that felt union and communion with brethren and sisters in Christ, we know that we have a heavenly Father. We have the same Father. That is why we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you really feel that, when your heart is melted under a sense of the dying love of Christ, and when you're brought into union with your brethren and sisters in Christ, it's something exceedingly precious and sacred to feel it and to experience it. And to experience that intimate love one toward another. It's a spiritual love. It's a spiritual union in Jesus Christ. And then to have that sacred realization that because you have these brethren and sisters in Christ, you also have a heavenly Father who has loved you with an everlasting love, who gave you to his only begotten Son, and his only begotten Son redeemed you, lived for you, suffered for you, died for you, rose again for you, and ascended into heaven for you. My dear beloved friends, when you have a realization given to you of these things, you see, from verse 10 in chapter 7, it's the response of the spouse under the sense of the love of Christ shed abroad in the heart. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. His desire is toward me. And then she expresses her desires to him. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. You know, this word was made exceedingly precious to me. I was exercised concerning the ministry of the word. I think it was approximately 13 years. And the amount of times on a Lord's Day morning when I arose early to read the Word of God, and this Word was so precious to me. Of course, it was regarding the exercise to the ministry of the Word, but this Word seemed to walk up and down in my soul. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. in the little hills of Zion, in the church of God. There's that desire in one's soul. Let us get up early to the vineyards. The vineyard is the church of Jesus Christ. The villages, the little hills of Zion, where the people of God meet. These different metaphors that are used to set before us sacred spiritual truth. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. How many of us here in this chapel, how often are you exercised about the church of God, about the prosperity of Zion? How often do you look over the people that gather in the house of God and your heart yearns for them, prays for them, watches for their souls, longs for them to be born again? And where there is that sign of spiritual life, you long for it to be deepened. Where there is one that is concerned about their soul, you long for Christ to be revealed unto them. That's exactly what this means. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish. What a sad and solemn thing if there is a church where there is none that are truly burdened for the church, watching, praying that the Lord might appear, that precious souls might be born again, that the Lord's people, that the work of grace may be deepened in their hearts. Is what the apostle, what the word of God calls mothers and fathers in Israel. When the apostle wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, "Ye have many instructors in Christ, but not many fathers." That is those, he was a father to them. He had begotten them in the gospel. He preached the gospel to them. They were born again. You see, he was a spiritual father to them. And we read in scripture of mothers and fathers in Israel. What a wonderful thing when a church is blessed with mothers and fathers in Israel constantly watching. You see, come, my beloved. And this is their desire. My beloved, come to the house of God. Come up with thy servant. Pour thy spirit upon him. Grant that the ministry of the word may be preached into our hearts. Grant that Christ might be exalted as a prince and as a saviour. Grant that we may hear his voice, that we may see his countenance. You see, this is the longing that is set forth in this sacred poetry. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. I tell you this, my beloved friends, the grace of God will never make you selfish. You'll want others to know it and to feel it. And that will burden your heart. That will exercise your soul. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my love. You know, there's no place like the house of God when your heart is warmed with holy fire, when Christ is made precious, when you see him as the altogether lovely one. You long then for the salvation of precious souls. Then, you see, we go forward in chapter 8. Oh, that thou wert as my brother, that sucked the breasts of my mother. The mother here is the church. Zion is called the womb of the morning. And here in this sacred metaphorical way, she's called the mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee. This is one of the very few places where we read in the word of God of the spouse leading Christ. Normally we read of Christ leading the spouse, but here the spouse leads him. Those warm, loving desires. You see, this love, it speaks of it here. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. Love is a very powerful thing. Those of you that know what love is, you know how powerful that love is, how strong that love is. That union, that communion that you're given. Now, how greater, how much fuller, how pure, how holy is that love between Christ and his church? You're drawn to him. You love him. I would lead thee. This is under a sense of this love. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house. You know, have you known what it is? I have. And I know others that have testified of it too. When perhaps during the week the Lord has blessed your soul and you cannot wait to get to the house of God. You cannot wait to go up to hear the ministry of the word and to be with the Lord's people in the sanctuary. There's such a yearning in your soul. You see, and this is the meaning of it. I would lead thee. You want Christ to be with you there. He's blessed you at home. He's perhaps blessed you in your work. And now you want him to come with you into the sanctuary. You want to hear his voice there. You want to feel his presence there. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house. Who would instruct me? You see, under the ministry of the word, we receive instruction. That is one of the purposes of the ministry of the word, is for the instruction of the living family of God, an instruction in the way of righteousness, an instruction in the way of truth. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me? An instruction in the sacred, holy commandments of the gospel of the grace of God. You see, it's a very precious thing. I would cause thee to drink of the spiced wine. You see, this felt union, this felt communion. Now she expresses her confidence in her beloved. She says, his left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. You know, in scripture, and as I say, these metaphorical way that it's spoken, left-hand blessings are providential blessings. They are the blessings for us in this life. Right-hand blessings are those eternal covenant spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. She says here, and she expresses her confidence in her beloved, his left hand should be under my head. Just think of those words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and my righteousness and all these things. What does he mean by these things? Providential blessings. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and my righteousness and all these things. All these providential blessings. Take no thought for the morrow. Let the morrow take thought for the things of itself. You see, all these things. Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Wait patiently for him. See, thy God hath commanded thy strength. Not just, you know, you cannot separate providence and grace. They go hand in hand. And the Lord fulfills the purposes of his grace in providence. One of the hymn writers, he speaks of those blessings that the children of God receive. And he says, the time and the place were all ordained by divine grace. And how true that is. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, in the first chapter, we have revealed the vision of Ezekiel. Now, he saw a great wheel. And within that great wheel was a smaller wheel at right angles to it. And he said their work and their appearance was, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. That great outer wheel of Ezekiel's vision is the eternal covenant ordered in all things and sure. That eternal covenant of grace, the love of the eternal Father, and the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the sanctifying love of the Holy Spirit. That is all contained in that great wheel of the eternal covenant of grace. Now the inner wheel, smaller wheel at right angles to it, is the wheel of divine providence. And it says there, whither the Spirit was to go, so the wheels went. If the Spirit was lifted up, the wheels were lifted up. If the Spirit rested down, the wheels rested down. I remember not long after I was sent into the ministry, and the Lord laid that upon my spirit to preach from. And I was so perplexed. And the Saturday afternoon, I was sitting reading, and I was so begging. I said, Lord, I can't go and preach. I can't see what it means. And you know, it was just as if I saw in my mind's eye these great wheels and this wheel within a wheel, and written right across it was all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purposes. And I saw so clearly that eternal covenant of grace in that great wheel and that inner wheel of divine providence. See, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. His left hand should be under my head. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs spiritually and all your needs providentially. He will. His left hand. And she, you see, under her head, supporting, sustaining, strengthening, upholding. His right hand should embrace me. Why, those right hand blessings of grace. When there's a discovery of the love of Christ, when there's a view given by faith of the sacrifice of Christ, when you're given to feel the preciousness of the blood of Christ, when you're given to feel the wonderful preciousness of the righteousness of Christ, when you're given to feel that you are wretched and unrighteous, but there is this glorious everlasting robe of his righteousness, when you're given to feel you're so defiled with sin, and then you are given to feel the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My beloved friends, you see, those are those rich spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you're given to feel, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. When he breathes into your heart, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. You see, and under a sense of this wonderful love of Christ, she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. Now we have this question, who is this? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? The wilderness is the world. We have the divine call that is breathed into the heart of every living child of God. When they become a living child of God, come out. Look at Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. And we read that he went out. The Lord called him. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He left that wilderness where he was, the place of his nativity. Come out from among them, the world, the things of the world, the ways of the world. It's a divine call. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Just think, and I expect many of you have read the Pilgrim's Progress, but you just think of Christian as he's coming out of the city of destruction. And his family, his wife, and they come and hang upon him and say, where are you going? He said, I cannot stay in this place. This place is appointed unto destruction. And they said, come man, he's gone mad. There's something wrong with him. And they try to restrain him. And he runs from them and he puts his fingers in his ears. And he says, life, life, everlasting life. You see, he's coming out. And that happens with every single child of God. They are called out of this world. And they go out not knowing whither he went. And so that is how the child of God goes. in faith, not knowing whither he went. My beloved friends, what does the apostle say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, my mind, it just goes to the prophecy of Jeremiah and the Lord's call there, if I can just turn to it. And he says, and they shall come. They shall come. Who? The child of God. When they're called, when that divine call reaches their heart, they shall come. He says here in Jeremiah chapter 50, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. And that is what so rested on my spirit of this, the spouse as she's coming up out of the wilderness. Their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My beloved friends, if your face is thitherward towards Zion, towards Zion's King, towards Jesus Christ, your back will be upon the world. That's what it means. You're coming up out of the wilderness of this world. You see something so beautiful and so attractive and so glorious in Jesus Christ. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved, leaning upon the precious blood of Christ? You've got no hope in yourself. You feel yourself to be poor, lost, ruined, wretched sinner, but you lean upon the blood of righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. You're leaning upon the beloved. You're leaning upon all-sufficient grace. You're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Oh, my beloved friends, how powerful is this love? How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed, when Christ is made so precious to your soul. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raise thee up under the apple tree. What is the apple tree? It's Christ. It's Christ. Previously here in the Song of Solomon, in the second chapter, it speaks there of Christ, the apple tree. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Two things with the apple tree, my beloved friends. On the one hand, on a hot, sunny day, it's a place of shade. You can get away from the hot rays of the sun under the shadow of the apple tree. What a beautiful type of Christ. But there's another thing with the apple tree. It has fruit, the most useful fruit, the most delicious fruit. So does Christ. From me is thy fruit found. And it's in him. It's in Christ. And this is what she says here. She's coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. I raise thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. That's the church of God. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And we read, and again, my mind, it was very much drawn in considering this word, to Psalm 87. And in Psalm 87, we read of Zion, the church of the living God. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. And then it goes on in verse 5, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. You see, Zion is called the womb of the morning. The womb of the morning. I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Oh, my beloved friends, what a wonderful thing if we have those evidences in our spiritual experience of being born again, of being given spiritual life, of having the gift of the Holy Ghost. That blessed divine spirit proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knoweth them that are his. And the divine spirit, he knows everyone that was chosen by the Father. He knows everyone that was redeemed by Christ at Calvary. And at the appointed time, as one of the hymn writers says, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose but call by grace, to turn the feet to Zion's hill. It's an appointed time. It's a divine, sovereign action of God. There thy mother brought thee forth. You know, if you have those evidences of the new birth, that witness of the Spirit with your spirit, you're born again. It's because you were loved with an everlasting love. It's because your eternal Father chose you. He chose you in Christ. And it's because your eternal Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die for you, to live for you, to die for you, to make you righteous, to redeem you from all your sins. It's because he sent his Son to bear the curse for you. What a depth there is in divine love, isn't it? What a depth there is in divine love. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Holy Ghost. Think of that wonderful love of Jesus Christ in leaving the bosom of his Holy Father and coming into this sin-cursed world. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Living here for 33 years in this place of sorrow and grief and sin and woe. And he did that to redeem his people. And having lived for them, having fulfilled the law for them, you know, that is what the righteousness of Christ is. It's that perfect obedience of Jesus Christ to the holy law of God. That's what he came to do for his people. He came to make them righteous. I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And he has fulfilled it for his people. His infinite love moved him to leave the bosom of his holy Father and to come to this world and to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Not only does he fulfill the law for them and to make them righteous, he then offers that sacred holy sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. On the one hand, that is to satisfy the demands of divine justice. Divine justice demanded the soul that sinneth it shall die. Cursed is every man that doeth not all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. He was made a curse for us. He was made a curse for us. You know, there is that, what is called really a typical law in the book of Leviticus. There's no other way to explain it. It's a typical law. It says in Leviticus, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Now, why should it be that a man hanging on a tree to die should be any more worse than a man being shot or a man being beheaded or whatever? There's only one reason, my beloved friends. It's typical. It's pointing to that place where grace abounds, where Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, where he suffered and bled and died for his people. That's why it's called a typical law. It's pointing to the means that the God of heaven would use, that his son would be lifted up on the cross of Calvary, that he would suffer, bleed and die for his people, and that he would bear away their sins. You see, the eternal Father, he took the sin of the church and he laid it on his only begotten son. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all, and those sins were nailed to his cross. And he paid the price to redeem his people. He suffered what they should have suffered. No tongue can tell, no heart will ever understand the depths of the sorrows and the sufferings of Jesus Christ. You know, there's that beautiful hymn, isn't there, in the book? I think it's 162. It's a hymn that's been exceedingly precious to me from time to time. And it's, of course, concerning the beloved. And how sacred is the language when on my beloved I gaze. So dazzling his beauties appear. His charms so transcendently blaze. The sight is too melting to bear. When from my own vileness I turn to Jesus exposed on the tree, with shame and with wonder I burn to think what he suffered for me. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? I raise thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth, there she brought thee forth that bare thee. Oh, my dear beloved friends, may the Lord make these words a living word in our hearts. It says here in the context, set me, and this is the desire of the spouse. As she looks to her beloved, she says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Oh, she's speaking to her beloved. She desired that sealing in her own soul, and she desired that she might be sealed in the heart of Christ, and to be sealed there forever, and to know the reality of that word in her experience. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see, my beloved friends, look at the connection there. Do you feel drawn to Christ? Do you see a beauty in Christ? Do you see a loveliness in Christ? Is there something in your soul that is drawn out to Christ? That's the evidence. Because you feel that attraction to Christ, and this is what draws the child of God out of the world. It's not the terrors of the law. No. It's not the thunders of Mount Sinai. No. It's the love of Christ. That draws. There's such a beauty in Christ. There's such a loveliness in Christ. And you run after Christ. You run after Christ. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? You see, he is the strength of Israel, and he gives strength to his people. Leaning upon her beloved, I raise thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth, there she brought thee forth that bare thee. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks.
The collections last Lord's Day were £550, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach on Wednesday evening instead of Mr. Robert Field, who is still unwell. and Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Hymn 1080.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.